I noticed just before Pastor invited me to come, he said, how many believe that God can do the impossible? Man was standing on a street corner one day, and this young lad ran up to him, and he said, hello there, mister, do you know me? He said, no, I don't think I do. He said, I know you. He said, I saw you at church Sunday morning. But yes, he said, I was there. He said, I tried to preach. He said, you couldn't do it, could you? Well, I'm not going to try to preach this morning. Leave that to the preachers. But I do have a message. I had a bottle of water all ready to bring, and I forgot it, so I'll rely on a peppermint unless Terry goes and gets me some water. Preacher used to put a peppermint in his mouth, and he knew when the peppermint was dissolved, that was the end of the message. Then one day he reached in his pocket and he got a hold of a button. I said, I have a message. Jesus taught by parables, and his disciples asked him, why do you teach by parables? And he said, I do this because it's, thank you, Terry. He said, I do this because it's for you to know the secrets of the kingdom or the mysteries of the kingdom, but it's not for others to know. And I thought about that, and I thought he taught by parables for that reason, and in those parables, there seems to be some hidden messages. Now, I'm not used to talking. You know, I hear some background here. Can everybody hear me? I have a problem sometimes hearing others, and there's no way you can know here whether others are hearing, but I looked into other parables, and I found messages that I didn't really know were there. For instance, I'll just mention, I'm not going to that one, but the parable of the Good Samaritan. I've heard so much about the Samaritan, the priest and the Levite, but I missed the message that's in that parable. And like I said, I'm not going to touch that this morning, but there is a message there, a strong message concerning the law. And if you want to study that parable and find that message concerning the law, that's in that parable, a strong message concerning the law. But the one I want to refer to this morning is in the 13th chapter of Matthew. And I'll read just a few verses to begin here. The same day went Jesus out of the house, sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now I find a message in that introduction to the parable. A sower went forth to sow. I want to leave that for a moment and just talk about a message. What is a message? And to me, this may not be to you, you may disagree with me here, but I've said if you disagree with me, that is right, that's all right. You have every right to be wrong. But a message to me has four essentials. And number one, a message must have a purpose. And that purpose most always is to inform. Secondly, a message must be delivered, and there are various ways of delivering a message. Thirdly, a message must be understood, and the message demands a response. I have some notes here and I can't follow them, so I'll just talk what I feel. How would that be? I moved one time into a community, a railroad community, and I discovered I had to learn a new language. I had been a lumberjack, and I understood the language of the pulpwoods, the lumberjacks, but when I got into a railroad town, I had to learn a new language. And I learned that there were a lot of numbers used and signals used and talked about. And one morning I had an engineer in my chair. I was a barber at that time. And another railroad man came in, and I remember what he said to the engineer. He said, I see 42 come in carrying green this morning. 42 come in carrying green this morning. And they get into a discussion about the fact that 42 came in carrying green. So curiosity got the best of me, and I said, will you fellows please tell me what you're talking about? And I learned something. There was a message. 42 was the number of the train, the second train, arriving from Montreal, bound for St. John. And trains operated by numbers, even numbers going east, odd numbers going west. Number 42 was the second passenger train coming out of Montreal towards St. John. On the front of each engine, there were flag holders. And the colored flag, the color of the flag on that engine gave a message. This morning, the color of the flags on the engine of number 42 were green. It meant nothing to me, but it meant everything to a railroad man. They explained to me the traffic was so heavy, there were so many passengers, so much baggage, so much mail, whatever, that one train could not accommodate all that was there, so they made the train up in two sections, each train running under Schedule 42. As that train passed through from Montreal to St. John, there was a message given to every railroad man. It was delivered by the train. It had a purpose to inform. It was understood by every railroad man that saw it. And the response was that the track workers stayed off the track. The westbound train stayed in the sidings until the second section went by. That's what I mean about a message, having a purpose, properly delivered, understood, and responded to. I think I have time to mention another friend of mine retired from the railroad as a station master. And I was down at the farm market one morning, and he was telling us how he got his job, from which he retired. He'd been a signalman in the Navy during the war, and he had learned various codes, how to send and receive and intercept other messages. After the war, he got a job on the railroad here in Woodstock in track maintenance. And one cold winter afternoon, they'd been cleaning switches here at the rail yard here in Woodstock. They'd gone into the station to get warm beside the stove there, and in the background, there was the sound of a telegraph key being operated. Everybody heard that. This man, Ralph, left the group, walked over to the telegraph office. A man by the name of Herbie Little was operating the key. Ralph opened the door and said, "What do you want?" He said, "Can you work the night shift?" He said, "I can." He said, "Be here at 4 o'clock and you got yourself a job." What do we see here? Everybody heard the sound of the telegraph key. One man heard the message. Is that quite a lesson? Sometimes we hear the sound. Do we hear the message? Back to the message. A sower went forth to sow. When he had sowed, fourth verse. When he had sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured seed. Some fell on stony places, shallow ground. I may not be reading this word for word. It was shallow ground. They took root quickly. They grew up quickly, and then they died. They faded. The sower went forth to sow. Some of the seed fell on fertile ground. Thought I missed one, didn't you? But in that fertile ground, other seed had been sowed. Have we seen that spiritually? Where good seed has been sown on good ground, but bad seed has been sown on the same ground, and the bad seed overcame the good seed. But the sower went forth to sow. Some of the seed fell on good ground, fertile soil, and began to grow. And the sower waited. There was a waiting period, then came harvest time. He harvested in that field, some areas 100-fold, some areas 60-fold, some areas 30-fold. And how did this happen? A sower went forth to sow. He was not deterred by thieves, by robbery. He was not deterred by shallowness. He was not deterred by competition. A sower went forth to sow. What's the message here? In my opinion, goals. A sower went forth to sow. He had a purpose. He had a goal. I think if we, as individuals, or as a group, as a church, if we are to accomplish anything, and I found this to be true when I was in business and in my Christian life, we first must establish desirable, recognizable, attainable goals. The sower went forth to sow. As I paused to think of something that sets some men apart, it seemed to me that goals in life must be the place to start. Imagine playing football on an unmarked field of green without a goal line to be sought, or a goalpost to be seen. It would be an aimless battle were there nothing to be gained, without a goal to strive for, or a score to be attained. We must have a purpose in our lives, for the flame that warms the soul is an everlasting vision. Every man must have his goal. That's the message I believe that Jesus left. A sower went forth to sow.